Good morning and welcome to the Thursday, February 1st edition of Byers & Company. We will welcome in the new month with City Hall insider Paul Osborne, plus Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports, and your chance to win Illini tickets from J.L. Hubbard Insurance and Bonds. It all starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a Thursday. And you know what Thursdays and 7 o'clock mean? It means Paul Osborne, former mayor of Decatur, publisher of the Decatur Tribune, in the studios live. Happy February to you. That means we're like one day closer to spring, I think.
I hope.
Oh, man.
I don't know what's going on out there with the weather. It's like 50 degrees one day.
It was beautiful yesterday. Yeah, and tonight and this afternoon, we're going to take a plunge. And that's just the way it works here in Central Illinois. Well, good morning and welcome to you. I was looking at the copy of the hard copy of the Decatur Tribune. I visit often at DecaturTribune.com. You can, of course, visit online. And as we were having a little bit of a conversation before the break, the Thrive magazine, what do I call Thrive?
I guess you call it a magazine. I mean, it isn't just an events calendar.
What would you call
it? That's what I'd call it.
Okay, In my head, that's the word that sort of popped up or I associated with it. They're going. They're done. This is the final issue. Paul and I were discussing this coming in out of the break. The new February issue is out, and it is their last one. I think 9 years or whatever they've been doing this. First of all, to Kat and the crew, thank you for all your work and helping to spread the word about the community and things that have been going on in the community over the years. It's tough. People don't understand just how much work goes into, doing what you do, what I do, what they do. It's not for the faint-hearted. Sad to see him go.
Yeah, I think sad, and particularly the print media, I'm especially close to. When I look at that, you can tell there's a lot of work goes in that.
Oh, sure there is.
People don't have a full appreciation of, the gathering of events and the layout and the photography. Everything. I mean, I have an appreciation for how much and how hard they've worked on that thing for 9 years, and it's been a real asset to Decatur.
It has. But it also I think, continues to be an explanation of exactly how fractured people's attention is and how much is out there as far as information is concerned. And, we just got ratings back from, bore you with all the inside baseball, but you always wake up, very appreciative that in this day and age of all the clutter and all the stuff that it's being thrown at people, that you still can have a significant impact on people and have people tune in the way they do. I'm very, very grateful for that, because it's not a given, right, that you just keep doing what you do every day.
Well, and you work hard for it, and I think that's really important, too. It's not for the faint-hearted, and it's not for those that maybe just kind of want to dabble in the newspaper or radio business or broadcast business.
Oh, everybody thinks it's easy. That's the thing, and I wanted to point out and thank them for their service to the community, because it was a very positive publication about all the great things that were going on in the community. But people think that's just an easy thing to do, or at least we have careers where everybody wants to give you advice on how to, I doubt anybody's ever actually said to Kevin Braney, here's how you should sell insurance.
Yeah.
But I'm sure in your years of publication, and I know in my years of broadcasting, there's plenty of people lined up to tell you how to do your job.
Yeah, and people have never had any experience, not all of them, with putting out a newspaper in my case, and even today, it's 60, 70 hours a week. I mean, a 40-hour week would be part-time.
Yes.
It would, and it just, all the years, I guess some people imagine, I'm sitting up there in the office thinking great thoughts to type down, and, there's a lot of work to that. I enjoy doing the writing and that, but there's a lot to get the paper out and dealing with a lot of entities at the same time that the public doesn't see, and that's okay. You don't have to. I'll take care of that.
But I'm talking about the people that just want to, just rail on it. Here's what you ought to do. Yeah. And I just think, I'd love to give you a microphone and 3 minutes of time to fill. Not 3 hours. Good. Well, here's 3 minutes.
Well, you'll have a mistake somewhere in that, and they'll call up or send an email. Hey, do you know? As soon as I picked the paper up and looked at it, I knew.
Yeah.
But thank you for pointing that out. How about all the other words that were correct?
Yeah. Everyone's a critic, but I thought Thrive did a nice job, and sorry to see, for whatever reason, that they this was the last issue for February here. They got a blank cover, which is kind of, I understand why. But that's a lot of hard work over the years, so kudos to them. All right, what's going on in the world of politics, local politics? I don't want to talk about the State of the Union. I don't even want to talk about the state of the state. I'm so tired of Springfield and Washington, D.C., I can't even pay attention anymore. I really can't, because I don't think any of them are telling the truth. I don't think any of them are actually going to solve anything.
Yeah, I think you probably summed up the national and state politics. You know, if it's a Republican president or governor giving a state of the state or state of the union, then Democrats don't like it. Republicans support it. It's the same way. See Nancy Pelosi, you know, I mean, there's the face of the Democratic Party reacting to a Trump message. And however you feel, you know, and I realize you don't want to get into national politics, but however you feel, you're going to have to start projecting a much better image.
Oh, yeah.
And stay away from the hate and all this stuff you're throwing out.
Yeah, and
there.
Then the media, because when anybody even came close to hating on Obama, they lost their minds. Yeah. And now it's just open game. So it's like no one's consistent with any of this. And so I'm just tired of all of it.
Yeah,
I'm focused on what's happening in the primary here. Because we're going to have some new faces, no matter what happens, in a whole bunch of local offices. You got the 101st, which is state politics, but it's your local rep. You've got the county clerk's office. You've got the Macon County Sheriff's race. I mean, you've got some new faces that are going to be on their way. And you've got some tough races. This sheriff's race is very unique. I don't recall ever. I remember when I first started doing this radio show, Lee Holsapple retired as sheriff, and Roger Walker and a gentleman by the name of Rick Bright, who was a very nice man, were running against each other, and the sheriff at that time kind of in you know, a lot of people looked at it as sort of an underhanded way, tried to sort of get involved and really, you know, undermine Roger and go for Rick Bright, and the voter said, no, that's not going to happen. Now, you don't have that in this case, but you got three long-term sheriff's employees with a whole bunch of experience all running against each other.
Yeah, and that's as I wrote this week, too, that's what kind of makes this unusual and unique. Usually, if you have someone running, it's an incumbent, and you have a challenger, and the incumbent's got the wealth of experience, been in the office for you know, for a long time before he became sheriff, and that's kind of been the tradition here, and it's wide open this time. The retiring sheriff basically says, I'm not going to endorse anybody. I'm just, it's at a level playing field as far as Tom was concerned. Tom Schneider. I think Howard Buffett pretty much is staying out of it too publicly.
Yeah.
You don't really have that carryover. I'm just trying to think, in all the years I've had the paper, I don't think there's been a Republican sheriff since Jim Doster, which goes back almost 50 years.
Really?
Yeah. I'm thinking of the sheriff since then. I think they've about all been Democrats.
Okay. And I think that's less important. I mean, that's a notable stat, but I think most people, when they vote for sheriff, aren't really all that concerned with party affiliation.
Yeah, I think more and more so.
Yeah.
I think back then you looked at the sheriff's office, and I think the advertising back then was a lot more DNR, you know, your Democratic candidate for sheriff and that kind of thing. And you know, the big letter D and the big letter R is kind of downplayed in a lot of candidates.
Well, because anymore, you know, it's not necessarily a positive thing because of what's going on nationally or state.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got Tony Brown. And tell me if I'm wrong. I sort of thought that what you just described as not playing out was originally going to play out because Tony Brown seemed to be the heir apparent. And him and Tom would be in public together. And Tony was out there as sort of the visible guy. And then there was a county board change to what the sheriff was going to make salary-wise. Because here's the dirty little secret about being at the top. Sometimes you're at the top, you don't make as much as the number 2, 3, 4 guy because they're still getting overtime and time. Because of contract things.
Yeah.
And that opened the door a little for other people to jump into this race. That's my take on it and what I have heard from folks.
Well, I think there's also the dispute that the county board wanted to endorse a successor.
The county board chairman.
Yeah, that's right. Jay
yes.
did. And so I don't know if did they ever come around to endorsing Howard.
No, they did not, as far as I know. And there was a lot of politics being played in that. And I don't think that you want the county board deciding who your sheriff is.
Yeah, and this was a little bit different.
Or not even the county board, county board chairman.
Yeah, and a little bit different in that there's quite a bit of time left when Tom left on there. If it's a matter of 2 or 3 months, it might not have made a whole lot of difference.
No, but it's over a year.
Yeah, yeah, you're exactly right. And so I don't know, the circumstances and the fact that you have three longtime employees of the sheriff's office, high-ranking employees of the sheriff's office involved, that's what makes this, and the Democratic tradition of holding onto that office for the last half century. I haven't gone back to check, but I've covered about all these races. And Jim Doster was a Republican, was the sheriff when I became editor of the Tribune. And I just don't recall another Republican since then holding that office. And I'm sure if I'm wrong, someone will call in. And
well, I'm going back for the 21, 22 years of doing the show. And I mean, that's my recollection as far as the people that have held office. I stopped for a minute because I know that Jerry Dawson voted for George Bush because it almost kept him from getting the sheriff's job because of a couple of hardcore Democrats in that party that just could not abide with that, which is. Seems silly because you think you'd want the best sheriff possible, yeah. But he was a registered Democrat.
Yeah, and considered a sheriff who was a Democrat. But Jerry still is very independent and very selective. I mean, he looks beyond the party, and congratulations to him for that. And he won't always vote that party line, and so I think that's what makes him a good person and made him a good sheriff. But that's to me in the sheriff's race. That's what's kind of unique this time. Is that tradition? Will that tradition be broken going into the general?
And we'll see. Yeah. I would suggest to you, it doesn't always come down to money, and money isn't the only thing. But I've had more people stop and ask me, like out of the blue, had this happen in the locker room at the YMCA yesterday, or maybe the day before. You know, do you think Dan Calkins has a chance to win this race? I mean, you know, I'm getting it, and I say to every one of them, yeah. There's a good chance he will. And I look at that name recognition, you know, the work being done. But I also look at the dollars that are being raised. And if you look at the sheriff's race right now, Tony Brown is way out raising the other two candidates.
Yeah, at the end of the year, you know, according to their Illinois State Board of Election forms, Tony had twice as much, almost $19,000.
Closed the year with almost $19,185 on balance, where you had Jim Root with $3,793. Now, clearly, he's not running in the primary. He'll be on the ticket in the fall, so there's plenty of time. But John Butts had $4,000. So, who knows what they raised in January, you know, and those totals may be different. But that looks very similar to the way that 101st race looks.
Yeah, it's just and Dan Calkins just stays on the air. It's just like you're checking something on the internet. Dan pops up, you know, with a commercial, and the commercial's well done. Yeah. It will.
Now I will tell you that Jonathan Butts, I'm not mistaken here, right? Is that up or not up? Are you here? That are you listening to the show?
Apologize.
Okay, you weren't listening to the show.
No, I was previewing a video.
Jonathan Butts is up?
I'm not sure. I think he's waiting on approval.
Oh, okay. I thought that was up. We were having this kind of sort of intro meet the candidate videos where you get to find out a little bit about them as people, because I think that still matters to folks, you know, on a local level. And I know he recorded that yesterday, and we'll be, you know, there's plenty of stuff you can find on the election page at notacater.com. Well, you know, we're going to do our best to give you the information about these folks if you're undecided or not sure how to pick. And like I said, the money isn't everything, but it is an indicator.
Yeah, and I think you look at that races. That's why it's really important, those quarterly reports. You looked not only to see how much money is being raised, but who the donors are, where they're coming from.
Yeah.
Are they business people? Are they people you know, that support him or a candidate in other ways? And, you know, I guess you say, you know, money's important, but it's not everything. But if you're raising that money and you have a big balance, it means a lot because you can get out there.
Yeah, it also shows you that there's a lot of people willing to write checks, which is the same thing as support.
Yeah.
And so it is sometimes an indicator of the popularity of the candidate.
Well, yeah, you have to measure that. And you also have to measure where that money is coming from. Is it coming from groups that don't even have voters in the district or indicators coming from outside? That money is still being accepted, and it's nice, but by the same token, that doesn't really necessarily translate into all these people are going to vote for you because they live in your district. You know, most of them don't, hardly any of them. So that money is just money that's flowing into your campaign. And you've got to raise money. I'm surprised at this point, to be honest with you, that more money is not being raised in that to replace Mitchell. I mean, that's a pretty expensive race normally if you're going to have some competition there.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I don't know, maybe there's more coming in at the last minute. Who knows? I mean, we're talking about final quarter of last year.
Yeah.
But right now, if you had to handicap the odds, just sort of looking at this without any sort of, affinity for any of the particular candidates, just looking at it on paper, you would have to say going into this primary for the 101st, that Dan Calkins has the advantage.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that, and particularly the money.
But yet there's still a lot of people out there go, you think Dan Calkins could really win this? Because his reputation, sometimes name ID isn't a positive thing.
Yeah, I think it's the fact, though, that Dan's kind of taken the bull by the horns here and basically saying, you know, I know about all these things, but I've learned from them.
Yeah.
I'm a different person now. And
I told Dan what I meant. You're a little long in the tooth, be a different person now, but okay. But you know, the name ID, whether it's positive or negative, you know, it is still name ID. And clearly the money folks are putting their money on him. I mean, so far as of yet, and we've still got, a little while to go here, about 6 weeks or whatever it is to primary election day. But we'll see what happens. But right now you got the sheriff's race, you got the 101st. Do we have a couple of Republicans trying to replace Steve Bean? Is that the primary?
Yes, yeah. I believe so.
You have the young. Now, are we booking any of these people? Are we waiting until the week before the election? What are we doing with
no.
all this? Okay. Because you've got a young woman who I met. She came in to drop off press materials when she announced that she was running. She's had some political work working on campaigns. She's very young.
Yeah.
And then you've got a gentleman who has Josh Tanner, who's a nice guy. And I've seen him out a lot. I mean, I've seen him at things.
Yeah.
I don't know how much money you raise for a county race like that. I mean, to me, that seems different than the sheriff's office. I don't know why it is. It's the same sort of county race, but it does seem different, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. In many ways, it's an office that people don't know a lot about. They know what you can get there if you need it, you know, the county clerk's office. But it's been held so long, you know, by Steve Bean. And there's another example. Going back 100 years, only Democrats have held that.
Well, there's been like three people.
Yeah,
right?
Like a couple of Tangneys and Steve Bean. So it's just like, if you're in there, it's
going
to be a
monopoly.
Lifetime experience.
Yeah.
So, and Steve's done a great job. And I think the fact that he's done a great job has resulted in not a lot of controversy in that office. What are you going to say when you're running? You know, I'm going to improve on the. Well, Steve's made a lot of improvement, and he has a lot of respect from a lot of people for the job that he's done there. I can't hardly believe he's retiring yet, but it's been, what, 20 years, something like that.
Oh, easily, every bit of that. Yeah. Well, it is amazing. And I will say to the sheriff's candidates before we go to the break here, they ought to be very fortunate or thankful that Sheriff Buffett is continuing to spend millions of dollars to improve all the things that need to be fixed and taken care of. Whoever inherits that office is going to land in a much better place than before.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And
for all the people out there that are going to buy this job, it's like, give me a break. I mean, at least at this point, just go, you know what? I was dumb and wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much. Glad to be wrong about this.
Yeah. But whoever it is of these three guys, they're going to walk into a much better situation than was there a year ago. And that isn't any reflection on Tom. That's just years of the county not having the money to do what they need to do.
Yeah. And you'd have the same reaction if Tom was still sheriff, if someone was coming in
absolutely.
And helping out.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Thank God that Howard's in this community. We are blessed to have him in this community, and the fact he's so unassuming. He is. He doesn't want credit for anything, but he's using a lot of money to help us do some things we couldn't really do for ourselves.
Yep, no doubt about it. Got to take a break. City Hall insider Paul Osborne in the studios. Here's Lindsay Romano with your three-day forecast.
Mostly cloudy skies today, gradually becoming sunny. However, temperatures will be falling to 20 degrees by 5 p.m. Tonight, clear, lows around 5. Friday, sunny, highs near 23. And Saturday, mostly cloudy, highs near 37. It is 36 degrees right now in downtown Decatur.
I'm Jen Wood from Maroa Lumber Company. At Maroa Lumber, we carry more than just top quality grade lumber. We feature high performing brands like Anderson, Wadena, CHI, and Milwaukee. We also carry composite decking, molding, and trim, siding materials, garage doors, Pratt & Lambert paint, and so much more. At Maroa Lumber, we offer free estimates and takeoffs on any job. Whether it's a small project or building your dream home, Maroa Lumber has the knowledgeable staff to get the job done. Visit us at maroalumber.com or give us a call 794-222-2226.
How
Hello, I'm Ouija Stewart with the Community Foundation of Macon County, where we connect the philanthropic goals of donors with the needs of our community. It is our passion and commitment to help people find ways to support the causes they care about, to make our community a better place. To us, because is more than just a word. It's an action and a reason. Because education matters. Because health matters. Because arts and recreation matter. Because our community matters. Whatever your cause, be the one to make a difference. You can give back to your community in the form of cash, appreciated stock, life insurance, wills, trusts, real estate, and even farmland. Learn more at endowdecatur.org or make an appointment by calling 429-3000. The Community Foundation of Macon County, because it starts with you.
Hey, if you are in the market to make the most money for your home, Sean Hannity here with some important advice. Now, look, I'm an active investor. I have bought and sold a lot of properties in hot, cold, moderate markets. And one of the lessons I have learned is this. Hire the agent that knows how to create the most demand for your home. Now, if I needed to create demand in this market, no question, there's only one real estate agent I trust if I needed to sell my home. I'm talking about Glenda Williamson. She services Decatur and the surrounding area and attracts hundreds of buyers every week and sells a home on average every 34 hours. Now, because of that, she can guarantee to sell your home at an agreed price and deadline, or guess what? She'll buy it. Our national marketing plan got my attention, and you know what? She'll get your home the attention it needs to sell for the most money guaranteed. Now, if I lived in Decatur or surrounding areas and needed to sell my home, well, I would call Glenda Williamson. So call Glenda, 217-875-8081. That's 217-875-8081, or online at GlendaWillSellYourHome.com. That's GlendaWillSellYourHome.com. Go there and you can start packing.
Back here on a Thursday. City Hall Insider will continue after news and Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Super Bowl Sunday. I'll explain the bet today here. Jeff Daly, you're looking at me a little. You okay?
I'm curious about the bet.
All right. Well, I'm looking at the Decatur Public Library, and the idea that they blatantly sold from me is nowhere to be found on their website.
Oh, okay.
See, nice. This is why if you did, like, our idea was to, like, actually get it out there for the people to participate in. The bracket of greatest books of all time.
Gotcha.
Really uncomfortable meeting. Did I tell you that?
Yeah, you mentioned
okay.
that.
Okay.
You keep flashing back to it, and it just kind of boggles you.
I hadn't thought about it until I heard your news story last hour. Anyway, we might do it on our own because I'm now really curious as to who would be the eventual winner.
Okay.
I mean, is it Hemingway? Is it Steinbeck?
It's a good idea.
Color Purple. I you know, you throw it out there. Harper Lee. I mean, you know, I think you could probably pick a handful that you think would be favorites.
Yeah.
And maybe it wouldn't be anybody we've ever heard of because it's, you know, we're kind of old on this. We'll take a break for the news. Here's Jeff Daly back with more right after this.
WSOY News Time 729. Governor Rauner held his annual State of the State address Wednesday afternoon in Springfield. While his message was about the positives of Illinois and how to come together as a state, some lawmakers will be wondering how he will accomplish that on certain issues as the year rolls on. Education, just one of those issues that's on the mind of legislators, including State Senator Andy Menard. Yesterday morning, the General Assembly voted to override an mandatory veto from the governor.
Governor vetoed a bill in late 2017 during veto session that he asked us to pass to him. The House and the Senate overrode that veto, and because of that unnecessary action by the governor, we unfortunately have a very chaotic situation when it comes to school funding right now.
Senator Menard says we need to have a bipartisan conversation so that the law will be passed and the governor signed is executed and is rolled out so that school districts can begin to receive the money they are due from the bill.
Radio. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump has until tomorrow to decide whether to allow the release of a House Intelligence Committee memo written by Republicans claiming FBI surveillance abuse against the Trump campaign last year.
Congressman Adam Schiff, ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, claims changes were made to the memo before it was sent to President Trump. A spokesman for GOP Committee Chairman Devin Nunes says edits were made to satisfy the FBI and Democrats. President Trump has the final say on whether the memo will be released.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland. John David Battaglia is scheduled for execution today in Texas.
He was convicted of killing his 6 and 9-year-old daughters in 2001 while their mother, his estranged wife, listened helplessly on the telephone. Attorneys have filed last-minute appeals. A state judge and a Texas appeals court have previously ruled that Battaglia was faking mental illness to avoid execution.
Fox's Jack Callahan, Fox News. We report, you decide.
WSOY News Time is 7:31. You can file your Illinois tax return, but it's going to be a while before you get your Illinois tax refund. Don't go shopping this weekend, even if the state of Illinois accepts your tax return. Tomorrow, the state started accepting tax returns Monday, the same day as the federal government. But Terry Horseman with the Illinois Department of Revenue says it's going to take some time for the state to start sending out tax refunds.
The Department of Revenue continues with its fraud prevention measures, as we have the last several years. But we anticipate direct deposit refunds will be issued 4 weeks from the time an error-free electronically filed return was submitted.
Horseman says error-free is the key word. He says electronic tax returns will be processed faster. Most Illinois taxpayers filed online, though about 16% of people still use pen and paper. If you're paying the government this year, your taxes are not due until April 17th. In sports, it was the Chicago Bulls falling to the Portland Trailblazers, 124-108, and the outfielder who hit 200 home runs over 17 major league seasons and was famous during his playing days for an afro that spilled out of his helmet as died from a rare tumor, Oscar Gamble, was 68 years old. Tonight on WSOI Sport Talk with Mark Tupper and Tim Kaine, that comes your way from 5 until 7. More news comes your way at 8 o'clock. Breaking news when it happens. I'm Jeff Daly in the WSOI newsroom for Newhoff Media. Media made locally.
At AT&T, we believe that access to affordable home internet brings you incredible opportunities. You can enjoy the power to explore a digital world of possibilities and connect with family, friends, and the things that matter most. That's why there's access from AT&T. If a member of your household is a SNAP participant, you may qualify for home internet at a discounted rate of $10 a month. No commitment, no deposit, no installation fee. Plus, get an in-home Wi-Fi gateway at no extra cost. Call 1-855-220-5211 or visit att.com/aware to learn more.
SNAP refers to the Federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Pricing excludes tax. Service will include a monthly data allowance depending on the type and speed of service you receive. If you exceed your monthly data plan allowance, you will be automatically charged $10 for each 50 gigabytes of data usage in excess of your data plan, even if less than 50 gigabytes is used. For details about data allowances, go to att.com/internet-usage. Wi-Fi enabled device required. Other restrictions apply.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY three-day forecast. It's a bit of a cruel one.
Yeah, it is, because right now is as warm as it's going to get. Mostly cloudy skies, gradually becoming sunny, but temperatures will start falling to around 20 degrees by 5 p.m. Tonight it is going to be cold. Clear skies, lows around 5 degrees. Could even have some wind gusts up to 23 miles per hour. Then for tomorrow, sunny skies, highs around 23. And Saturday, mostly cloudy, highs near 37. It is 35 degrees in downtown Decatur.
Tupper on Sports on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back with the City Hall Insider in just a couple of minutes. Right now it's time for Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Mark is the executive sports editor of the Herald and Review. He joins us each and every weekday morning. All right, when Vince McMahon made his announcement last week, everybody said the greatest way to catch up to the NFL is define what this catch rule means, right? And you'd be one step ahead.
I don't think that's wrong. You know, and while the Patriots and Eagles are preparing for the Super Bowl, the commissioner, Roger Goodell, delivered his State of the League address yesterday, and much of it is gibberish. But the one thing that he talked about was starting over and trying to find a new, logical, understandable, satisfying way to define what you just said, Brian, what is a catch? You would think this is easy, right? I mean, for years, it seemed like there was no controversy about this. We all knew when it satisfied the eye test whether a player successfully caught the ball or whether he did not catch the ball. And then came slow motion instant replay and officials using video review and what was supposed to be a way to correct egregiously wrong calls turned football into the freaking Zapruder film. And now we go frame by frame by frame to examine every wiggle or jostle or bobble all the way from the instant the ball touches a player's hands until after he crashes to the turf and then climbs back to his feet. And in that process, plays that our eyes tell us initially are catches are determined to be incompletions because of a phrase referees use when they say the player did not survive the ground. And this one matter, catch or no catch, has done more to confound and confuse fans and players and coaches than any other play. And I think the game loses a lot of its appeal when we no longer understand what the heck the rules are. So Roger Goodell rightfully brought together a bunch of former players, including Hall of Fame wide receivers, and they looked at 150 plays. And they just asked him, is this a catch? Is this not a catch? And for 3 hours, they looked at those plays, and guess what? They couldn't agree. They couldn't agree. Everybody's got their own definition. So the league's competition committee will take this up in March. They will start over. They will write a new rule that attempts to define what is a catch. And I know it sounds easy. It has not been, and it's become a point of anger and frustration for fans who might be willing to scrap the whole Zapruder treatment and just ask the referee, what did it look like? It looked like a catch. Okay, fine. Catch it is. Next play, please. Let's move along. It's just gotten so bogged down. And every time I see one of those, and we will see some on Sunday, I guarantee it, we'll see the examination frame by frame, and we still probably won't all agree. We've got to figure out a way to get that rule right.
Yeah, seems so much simpler when I was a kid watching football. All right, Save More Pharmacy in Mount Zion, bringing you this look at Tupper on Sports. We'll talk about the Super Bowl. Tops will make his pick on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
It's the perfect time of the year to make some new changes. Save More Pharmacy would like to be the pharmacy of your choice. The professional pharmacists are able to answer your prescription questions, offer advice about over-the-counter medications, and provide guidance on any newly prescribed medications. Save More Pharmacy provides free prescription delivery to your home or office now within the entire Macon County area. For prescription refills, simply download the mobile app. So quick and easy to do. Save More Pharmacy in Mount Zion. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 7. Saturday, 8 to 5.
Back here with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, the Super Bowl.
Yes, you know, I think the more football you watch, the more temptation there is to overthink the game and all the different factors that that might pop into your head. And I think it's generally wise to pick one and just one that could make a difference in the game. And let's face it, when you're examining the Super Bowl, you're trying to figure out some way that the Eagles could beat the Patriots because the Patriots are the favorites. And I think most people feel that's how the game will end up. And so the one thing that occurs to me is, can the Eagles four-man pass rush, which is good. The Eagles have a good defense. Can they get to Tom Brady the way the Giants did when they beat Brady in New England twice in Super Bowls in 2008 and 2012? And it's got to be the four-man pass rush. It can't be blitzes. When you start devoting more and more personnel to trying to get to him, that gives him more and more opportunities to make you pay for that. And to me, that's their best and only chance, is to make him hurry, especially by pushing the pocket back into his face up the middle, because when he can stand back there and then he can walk up into the pocket and throw it downhill, you're dead. And your chance is to get him off balance and then to make him hurry, and then you might have a slight chance. Jim Schwartz is the Philadelphia defensive coordinator. He actually started out as working for Bill Belichick with the Browns. And I remember when he was the head coach of the Lions, he's very aggressive on defense, and he always understood the value of smacking the quarterback early, even if it sometimes was after the whistle. He had no problem with that. And he might be willing to do that Sunday just to establish some ground rules. I won't be surprised if there's a flag early in the game, because after the pass, they knock Brady down illegally. And, I mean, I'll be honest with you, they'd like to hurt him, and they would. Now, they won't say that, but that's what they would like to do. But you know what? Belichick is so smart, and his coordinators are so smart, Josh McDaniel and Matt Patricia. They know how to draw up a game plan, and then they know how to bend it during the game to suit the circumstances. Look what they did in the AFC Championship game when Rob Gronkowski got bumped in the head and left with a concussion. He was a big part of their game plan. Now you've got to change the plan, and New England did that without panic. Most teams can't do that. Could Philadelphia pull the upset? You know, they really could, because with Brady and Belichick in play, they went 9 straight seasons from 2006 to 14 without winning a Super Bowl. They don't do it every year, but, and I think it'll be close, because New England Super Bowl victories are always close. Their margins of victories in the five Super Bowls are 3, 3, 3, 4, and 6 points. But I just think New England figures out a way to win. It might be Brady. It might be something else. That said, because I don't really care about either one of these teams, I'll root for what would be the most entertaining story. And by a large margin, that would be Philadelphia winning the game. It kind of comes down to me is, do I want to see a movie I've already seen five times, or do I want to see a new thriller? And I'll root for the new thriller, but I expect New England to win 24-20.
All right, there you go. We will see you tonight at Sports Talk. Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. City Hall insider Paul Osborne in the studios when we return. Time now for the Marquee Coffee Break. Fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 30 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discernible coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
At Busey, it's not just about doing business, but doing good. Supporting the arts, advocating for our youth, and helping those in need. That's been our promise since we opened our doors more than 150 years ago, and it remains our promise today. Supporting our neighbors leads to vibrant, thriving communities, the places we're proud to call home. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868. Member FDIC.
Drug addiction hits closer to home than you think. Tonight at 6, a local mother opens up on her struggle against addiction and the fight to get her children back.
When's the last time you used...
Tonight on News Channel 20 at 6.
Super Bowl halftime secrets revealed on the next Entertainment Tonight. Everything we know about Sunday's Justin Timberlake performance.
I probably shouldn't say it.
Plus, don't miss our 50 Shades exclusive inside the third and final installment.
I just can't believe this is my life.
And inside Tomb Raider Boot Camp, Alicia Vikander style.
I've had such a fun time in this film.
Entertainment begins and ends with E.T.
Tonight at 6:30 on News Channel 20. Central Illinois weather has been a roller coaster. Wake up with News Channel 20 meteorologist Joe Crane and be prepared for Mother Nature's ups and downs. Get your first forecast of the day tomorrow on News Channel 20 Sunrise, starting at 5 a.m.
With roots in agriculture, manufacturing, production, we've emerged as a global force. It's a transformation. Logistics services, food and ingredients, biotechnology, health and medical science. Innovation at its finest every single day. These careers are waiting for you. Visit careersdecatur.com. We are Decatur and Macon County, and we are limitless.
This is Byers & Company on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Thursday. You care about Super Bowl Sunday?
A little. I guess I would care more if some other teams were playing.
Can we get rid of the bump music, please? Okay. I get the feeling Lindsay's not just paying attention to the show at all today. I think we're putting her feet to sleep. My bad. I'll try to amp up the energy level here. Here's the thing I disagree with Mark on. Not necessarily disagree. He said, you know, the same old movie, or do you want to see a new thriller? I think the idea of being able to stick around and be a dynasty is every bit as appealing to me as the upset. I don't think we appreciate excellence anymore. You know what I mean? We're always rooting. We want you to be on top, and then as soon as you get on top, we can't wait to tear you down. That's what we do as the American people.
I think you're right. Yeah. It's just like, so much for you. You know, you're probably proud of yourself for all those Super Bowls you've won and everything.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. I think it's much harder to sustain that excellence over a long period of time than it is to do an upset.
Yeah, that's a valid point.
Right? I mean, the Falcons were there last year. Where are they?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's much harder to do what the Patriots have done than to go and pull an upset.
Well, yeah, I think if Philadelphia pulled it off, it would be a big upset from the standpoint.
Well, what are they, like 5.5-point favorites, something like that?
Something like that, it's not huge.
And Mark's right in all the Patriots Super Bowls have been very tight, close games. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. And many of them coming from behind, you know, to win.
Well, you have a sense, though, somehow, some way, Brady will win the thing. It's just like that's how much confidence you have.
Because they've done it so many times. Yeah. And that's the psychological and the mental factor that's hard to sort of put a Vegas line on. You know, what does that do to the other team? You know, but I tell you, we should celebrate excellence. We used to in this country. We used to, you know, when somebody made it good, right? I mean, they worked hard and built a company that turned into a big success. We used to elevate those people and go, look at that. I want to be like that. Now we tear them down.
Yeah, want to take them down.
You can't do that. You didn't build that. That's not yours. Yeah, I mean, that's what we do, right?
Yeah, we'll show you. You're going to lose.
And a lot of that is, I think, directly blamed on politicians because they've done this with this class warfare. It's got to be us versus them. They've turned people into enemies. Well, they didn't get successful on their own. They did that on your back. I mean, that's been the message, right?
Yeah, and I think that was the message, one of the messages I found most offensive by President Obama. Like, you didn't build that company by yourself. Hey, I was there day one. I didn't see you anywhere.
Yeah, but here's the problem with his statement then. Is that he was talking about, and to be fair, a lot of people won't give him credit for what he was actually talking about. He was talking about the government built the roads, and the government did, you know, so if you're transporting, but you know what? The government didn't do that without taking your tax dollars to do it. They didn't do it on their own. They're the only ones in this argument that didn't do it on their own because they couldn't build those roads if they weren't taking your tax dollars.
Yeah, well, that's the same of everything they do.
No, but that's what my point. So even if you give him the benefit of the doubt of what he was trying to say, it still doesn't hold up because they didn't do it on their own. They did it with your money.
Yeah. Yeah. Somewhere this money came and you benefited from some mysterious fund somewhere that you didn't support. I mean, they took your money.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's why, and I'm always careful because that is what he meant. He wasn't, I don't think he was necessarily deriding a business owner. I think what he was trying to make the point was that, you know, the government helped you make sure your trucks could deliver things. And yes, okay, I get that. But they did all that with your dollars.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of business owners, including myself, took offense at the statement overall. You know, without looking at the particulars, like,
no,
what are you talking about?
It was a bad, it hit the wrong note. There's no doubt about it. But we have, I think, because of political warfare, turned people against, you know, we don't like success anymore. And I'm still old-fashioned enough to recognize and celebrate and admire success.
Well, we like a little success. We like...
But not too much.
Yeah. If you get too much, then, you probably expect that all the time. I want someone to take you out.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a reflection sometimes of your own life.
Oh.
But, yeah.
Look
like,
at social media.
I'm taking it out on you.
Yeah, look at social media. I have come to know this just because of what I do for a living, and it drives me crazy, but I also understand the way it is. There are people that no matter how good a story is, no matter how good something might be. I mean, there are people out there that will always search for the negative. I mean, they want to find the negative in anything. And I have said this often, Lindsay, have I not, over the number of years. You could walk down the street and hand out $100 bills to strangers, and one out of 10 of those would look at you and go, what, only $100? And that is out there. And that's what you see on social media. That's the Howard stuff, right? I noticed somebody was angry that he donated $1.4 million to the sheriff's department for fixing things. And so he was angry. It made him angry. It made them angry. That he took his money and donated it for the betterment of law enforcement and our community. It made them mad.
Yeah.
Think about how – can you imagine being in that person's life?
No. I guess they'd rather
– going home with that person every night? Like, I mean, can you imagine – that's what I feel like Bill Clinton goes home to every day. I mean, I would really hate living with that person.
Well, maybe the person that writes that goes home alone because no one will live with them. I don't know. But, yeah, it's just like it. And you find that, you know, in any newspaper story, anything that you post, you know, someone always, didn't like that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when it was a lot better than that.
Now, so in the sports cliche world here, it's one thing if it's the Cardinals and the Cubs and you have a vested interest in it, right? Yeah. But how many people in Central Illinois are either Patriots fans or Eagles fans? Right? So the only reason you're rooting for the Eagles is just you can't stand the success of the Patriots. That's it.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Yeah.
And that says a lot about us.
Yeah, probably not good.
I mean, it used to be a time where you go, Joe Namath, wow, what a pleasure to watch him play, whether you were a Jets fan or not. Now you're in the, and you've lived in an era where you've seen some of the greatest players of all time, and I think Tom Brady is at the very top of that list. And instead of going, wow, how fortunate for us to be able to have witnessed this in our lifetime and watched this greatness, we just have to root against them. Because that in America, and we've lost this. And I'm telling you, we are not a better country for this. We're not. We've lost the greatness, that race for space. I mean, all the stuff that we used to believe in as Americans, the American dream, is now, well, you just stole that from me.
Yeah. Why can't I have that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why should you have that?
Work hard.
Yeah.
Drink 37 glasses of water a day. Start there.
Yeah.
And what does the media do? Well, that could kill you.
Yeah. Take some high blood pressure pills. Calm down.
Yeah. I realize, and then people, every year I get this. I am a New England Patriots fan. I decided to, by the way, get a new baseball cap. And I got it purposely because it's in black. Because this is the way that people look at the Patriots. See?
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah. As the bad guys. And I have to tell this story every year, and this will lead into the top of the hour. Lindsay and I will have our bet discussion. I had the Patriots. What year was this?
Oh, goodness.
You know what? I think it was on a Facebook post because...
I have the program because I ordered this from Amazon.com. This was 2002, and the Super Bowl was played in New Orleans, Louisiana, at the Superdome. And at that time, in the newsroom, and co-host of the show was a woman by the name of Kayla Hugo, who's not Kayla Hugo anymore, she's Kayla Hittmeyer. Mm-hmm. And she was in love with Kurt Warner and the then St. Louis Rams. Do you remember? And Kurt Warner was a great story. He was literally a couple of years earlier boxing shelves in a grocery store, right? And played a little bit in the Canadian Football League, and then he makes it into the NFL, and he leads the Rams to a Super Bowl. And so she wanted, and this all ties into the whole bet conversation, she wanted to make a big bet on the Super Bowl.
Right.
And she loved the Rams. So I got stuck with the Patriots.
Right.
In 2002.
Right.
Tom Brady wasn't the starter for most of that season for the New England Patriots. It was Drew Bledsoe. Drew Bledsoe got injured. Brady, who was, you know, a seventh-round pick, whatever, you know, I mean, was nobody. The Patriots were nobody. Bill Belichick had been a failure in Cleveland as the head coach of the Browns. I mean, there was no dynasty. There was no anything. It was just the New England Patriots up against the favored St. Louis Rams. And so we had this big bet. And I got stuck just because she was such a Rams fan and Kurt Warner fan with the Patriots. This is how it all started. Way before there was a dynasty, way before Tom Brady was a household name, way before, you know, this is 16 years ago.
Right.
And so we've got this big bet, and there's quite a lot riding on this. And I'm watching the Super Bowl on Sunday, and what do? They're down, they're down, they're down, and Brady leads them down the field. This nobody, this seventh string or seventh round draft pick, it leads them down the field. They kick a field goal to win the Super Bowl, and then therefore she has to go do the awfully embarrassing thing, and I don't. And why wouldn't I be a Patriots fan at that point?
That's right.
Because I didn't have a team. I wasn't a Bears fan. I didn't really, you know. And then over the years, now it's like I've jumped on some bandwagon.
Yeah, no, I was there when this all happened.
Yes.
You know, and yeah, no, that's exactly how it happened.
So I have my Patriots hat in all black. This is the way you see them as the bad guys, the villains, the black hats.
You've been wearing Patriots gear for workouts, too.
Yes, I have. And I'm not going to be in your face about it, but I will absolutely root for them because it's about what we used to celebrate in this. It's what built our highway system. It's what took us to the moon. It's what we used to as Americans. It was okay to dream big and be successful. And in today's day and age, no. And I blame the politicians more than anyone else on earth for doing that. Because what do they need? They need pawns in their game. And the way to do that is to make you not like somebody else because you can blame them for your lack of success or they've had too much success. And instead of celebrating achievement and victory and being great, why do you think Trump's slogan impacted people the way it did? What was it? Make America great again. When did we fall out of love with great?
You're going to put your cap on and
right,
say
I'm all sorry. That. I'm sorry. I feel like I should be a little more orange. Yeah. All right, we've got to take a break.
Subdued today.
Paul Osborne's in the studios. We'll bring it back down to earth on the other side. I'm just jealous of you, Paul. Here's Lindsay with your forecast.
Cloudy skies gradually becoming sunny. Temperatures will be falling today to around 20 degrees by 5 p.m. Tonight, clear, lows around 5 for your Friday. Sunshine, highs near 23. And Saturday, cloudy, highs near 37 degrees. It is currently 34 degrees in downtown Decatur. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital offers the most maternity options for your most important delivery. Just as you may be expanding your family, we are expanding the services we offer to provide you with the most comprehensive care options for your newborn. We hope you'll celebrate your newborn's first day with us. We're committed to taking care of your whole family for life. Learn more at stmarysdecatur.com/maternity.
You owe over $10,000 in back taxes. You've called every tax firm out there. They all say the same thing, making promises they never keep, and you're sick of it. What you really need is a new start on your back taxes. If you're faced with garnishments, levies, audits, or years of unfiled tax returns, we'll fight to get you the new start you deserve. Call 1-800-733-0145. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Don't wait until another tax season ends and another year of penalties and interest are added to your balance. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-733-0145. That's 1-800-733-0145. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. Again, that's 1-800-733-0145.
This is Byers and Company on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
We're back here with a City Hall Insider. You can pick up the Tribune. Great idea for a gift if you have a family member that lives elsewhere. They get that once a week delivery and get a check up on things that are in the news and a great nostalgic look back. One of the things, you have a great trolley car sort of picture on the back cover of the Tribune. It almost looks like you could stage that today, right?
Yeah.
With the right costuming and get one of the trolleys over there.
Yeah, that's like over 100 years ago people were moving.
When trolleys were like a mode of transportation for a lot of people.
That was, yeah.
People didn't have cars.
Yeah, and see all the windows open and that? No air conditioning either. So... yeah, that's someone's, a reader's great grandfather.
It was great because I love the names. The photo shows left to right, Grover Moore, and the reader whose name is Susan, her great grandfather John Riddle, and great grandmother Effie Bell Riddle.
Yeah.
Sounds like a time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. This is what I love about the Decatur Tribune. So if you want to check it out online, go to DecaturTribune.com. Paul, we'll see you next week. Thanks for being here, as always. It's a great pleasure. Paul Osborne, former mayor of Decatur and the publisher of the Decatur Tribune. We'll get into the bet when we get on the other side of the break and relay it to that bet all those many years ago, which started kind of a tradition around here, and why we're moving away from that. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned. News is coming your way next.
Get your news, weather, and sports now with the Now Decatur app, available for free for iTunes and Google Play. Only with Now Decatur and WSOY Decatur.
WSOY News Time 7:59. Brackets are now available for the Decatur Public Library's second annual Tournament of Books. Alex Frazier, adult division librarian, said the tournament is similar to March Madness.
So it's kind of built on that concept where we pull 32 titles and we layer them against each other. And then our patrons or whomever can vote as to whether they like, say, Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter better.
Those titles compete against each other within their genres. And then